Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today.
Everyone, welcome to Webcology here on WMR.fm. It's the 18th of September, 2025. Usually it takes a couple of days after we record one of our podcasts to know what we're going to title it. This one I already know is going to be called The Day the Music Died Edition. This is a really sad day in world history, certainly in American history. I strongly suggest this is going to be marked in the future in calendars as the day America slid from an authoritarian state into an outright fascist state. We'll see what happens in the coming weeks. Hopefully there'll be no more political violence. Political violence only begets political violence, and there's no end to political violence except more violence. But the reaction of the American state and a sizable chunk of the American people, not just the American people, people around the world, has been terrifying to watch. It's like blaming donut makers for an obesity crisis. I'm not sure exactly what metaphor to find, but it's so absurd and disgusting in the reactions that have been happening, distressing in the thoughtlessness of them. The mildest thing I can possibly say, and it's been said before, but people have gotten in a lot of trouble for saying it. If you want to be spoken of kindly after death, act and speak kindly throughout life. And one person, their views, their ideas, their ideals, be they progressive or regressive, be they beautiful or vile, do not represent a nation, do not represent a generation, and do not call for the suppression of millions, tens, perhaps hundreds of millions of law-abiding, conscious, good people in the United States and around the world. And I'm afraid that Rubicon was crossed in the last 24 to 48 hours with the declaration that a non-entity, is a terrorist entity, and second American talk show host to lose their job for criticizing the regime or the regime's ideals. What a time to live in. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and BrandLabs.us and Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls. Christine, I'm sorry I just monologued on like that, but
you did.
I had no idea how to say anything about opening the show or talk about how I'm feeling, and that just sort of rolled out.
Well, to address the Kimmel issue real quick, Jimmy Kimmel wasn't even really criticizing. What he did was make a little bit of fun about the reaction that our current leader had to the death of his friend. That was the whole thing.
wonder if
So,
you're making fun of the reaction. I think he was actually like questioning the reaction.
yeah, question and action for sure. I mean, I shouldn't maybe say make fun, but making light of it. For people who don't know, the reaction by our leader to a question about the death of his friend was met with a sentence and moved on to the ballroom and how lovely it was going to be. So that he commented on that. That was about it. There was nothing major. But even if there was, we have free speech in America. And in this case, this is a violation of free speech. It often gets confused. People think, oh, I have a company and I tell you, you can't say that in my establishment, that somehow that's a violation of free speech. It's not. It's the government has to do it. But in this case, the government did do it.
Yeah, the government literally attacked the network's right to exist if it they didn't play ball, right?
Because Brendan Carr, who is the head of the FCC, oversees the deals that these companies make. And right now, Disney, which is the owner of ABC, was making a deal with a company, and unfortunately, I can't remember what company they're buying, but they need approval for that. So Disney, ABC, and the company Nexstar is the one that's overseeing the deal, decided that they would capitulate to Carr's threats that that deal might not go through if they didn't remove Kimmel from air. So he's indefinitely suspended, which means, as far as I understand it, that his contract is still there, but they will not do his show or air his show. I thought first it was just they weren't going to air it in 32 markets, but this morning on the news they said his show was completely shut down. They're
Yeah,
not
isn't
filming
that?
anything.
Yeah, no, it's off the air.
Yeah,
So
it's
his
off the air.
contract will be paid out. He hasn't been damaged. He probably doesn't have a lot to sue over, or at least to gain from a suit, because again, he's getting paid. But all the people involved in his show who are innocents, who just lost their jobs for what?
And he can sue because the government did this on a First Amendment issue. So it's a First Amendment case, if in that case, because it's not just contractual. The FCC threatened the companies that if they didn't remove him, they might not see their deal go through, or they might lose their licenses of all their independent affiliates. So ABC is separate from its affiliates, but the license, but it's all kind of intermixed. Like, it's like when you're affiliate marketing, right? You kind of work for them, but you don't, but they hold their licenses. And
Basically, there
so,
ain't no audience, there ain't no show, and the FCC was going to deny ABC the audience.
right, and they're going to deny all their licenses. They're going to remove them, is what he said. So this is a First Amendment case, and this is important for all content creators to understand, because the government is not allowed to do this. They're not allowed to say that you can't speak about something just because they don't like it. That's not how it works, and that is why Jim is saying it's fascism, because fascism does that. Autocrats do that, dictators do that, but in America, we have a First Amendment right in our Constitution that you can speak. And then also on the, go ahead.
And that the fascism, one of the hallmarks of fascism is a merger of the interests between government and corporation, where both are working hand in hand to achieve goals that tend to suppress rights of others for the gain of the in-group, in this case, Republicans and etc. That's ticks the boxes in the fascist scorecard. Is this fascist? Isn't this fascist? You can actually do a political audit on a society, much like one would do a technical audit on a website. And there's, hallmarks that tell you something is very sick. And some of the biggest boxes got checked this week.
Also, because one of the biggest ways to fight back against fascism is satire of the fascist, the government, the leaders. So when you see them going after Colbert and then Kimmel, they're going after the satirists. And so that makes a second box that's been checked. So it's a, what's the right word? Unprecedented times, or we tired of that word. I would say the one thing they have done, and I don't think they've realized, is they have made Colbert and Kimmel so popular. Last night there was an ad that went through my Facebook feed that had Hulu on it. Hulu's owned by Disney. Every comment, there are hundreds of them. I stand with Kimmel. I stand with Kimmel. I cut my service. I cut my service. So that is one thing people can do, is they can not interact or not pay anymore the companies that are capitulating. Because we do know that our leader is not in Chicago this week after promising it for a month, because they stood up to him. And every time they capitulate, it makes us weaker. So,
Meanwhile,
and
we're about to do a show on AI, Google, Facebook,
yeah.
Meta, and a whole bunch of
Yeah.
people who have literally bent the knee in the tech oligarchs.
And one more thing, though, just going back,
Yeah,
circling back
yeah,
to the, we see Antifa here, but Antifa, is that, so people understand, and this is even coming from a 2000, I think it was 2010 Senate Republican report, about the, it's not a group, so it was just a group, I can't say group. It's not a group, it's not, it doesn't have
It's
board
not an
meetings.
entity. It's not
Yeah.
anything.
It's not
It's
anything.
a
Yeah. It's
thought.
not, it's basically, yeah, it's a, you know, some people will act in alignment with the thought, but they're not organized. They don't have leaders. They don't have dues. They don't have meetings. They don't have phone lists. They don't have any of that stuff. It's just something that says, I'm against fascism. It's the reduction of the two words anti-fascist to one word, and
Antifa is not a
anti-fascist.
group. It's a contraction.
Yeah. And so when they,
Anti-fascist.
exactly. And I would assume most people are against fascists. In fact, we fought a whole war of it, World War II. When we went into Germany to remove the fascist dictator at the time, hundreds of thousands, actually a couple of, what is it, 100 million died in that war? I know it's an astronomical amount.
Over 30 million died
30,
in,
thank you. I don't remember the
and
numbers.
that might just be Russia's death toll.
That
Like
is actually
it
just
was
Russia's, because I did take Russian history. Yeah, that's just Stalin.
no, it was the brunt of World War II was actually fought across Russian ground.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying that Stalin was actually 30 million died that were Russian, is what I'm saying. So, but
So
yeah, so just so people understand, it is nothing more than a set of ideas, like philosophies about how people feel and act towards fascism. That's it. And
you
also in
know
the
what?
United
It's
States,
hard.
you
It's
can have,
hardly even that, really. It's just people who dislike fascism. No fascism, no Antifa.
yeah, and there's also, there, I don't know how it'll turn out with the legal situation because of the Supreme Court right now, but in the United States, you cannot make a group in the United States, and I'm not saying they're a group, I'm just saying they're a group, a domestic terrorist. We don't allow it. We didn't allow the people who were malicious, who were threatening to like attack federal buildings or those things in the past.
They have no intention of doing that, though. They just
No.
intend to use Antifa as a label and start picking people off one by one by one who they dislike, and they'll just call them Antifa.
Right, but I'm just saying so people know that legally you cannot designate anyone a domestic terrorist because of this. And we'll see what happens, because it will go to the courts. But
They'll
anyway,
still
so
throw the word around casually and
they
not
will.
care if it ruins people's lives or not.
Yeah, I'm not arguing that. I'm just
No,
saying that
indeed.
legally
Indeed.
that it's not a thing. So,
So,
okay. How do we transition out of this darkness?
again, it's hard to transition out of this sort of thing, but we really have to.
Yeah.
But again, this is almost certainly going to be the Day the Music Died edition. Friends, we had a good thing going. We really did. So, the Energizer update, the Google August 2025 spam update is still running into the
Yeah,
third week of September. It's
it
actually going to be
started
running into the
August
fourth
20th.
week soon.
Yeah, I thought it started August 26th. It was supposed to be a 2-weeker, but we're now on week 3, running into week 4. So I guess we'll see. But it's, a lot of people, we said last week, felt like they rolled it back. So there must have been something that didn't work.
Well, maybe it's
So
just an awful lot of spam out there.
yeah, that's true. That's true too. But,
Speaking of,
this is funny. If you were on Google and you're doing search, and all of a sudden you just had ads after ads after ads after ads after ads, that is a bug. It is not an actual new test or anything. Google's going to run like 100 ads.
okay, so have you gotten like Google Search Console achievements in your email, knowing full well that your client probably saw them too?
Yes, because
Don't
it's
they
like,
annoy the hell out
yes.
of you?
They do, because it's like, this doesn't mean anything in out of context. Or
But it's
this
all the
doesn't mean what they
cheery
think it
stuff,
is
right?
out of
But yeah, they might
context.
write,
Yeah.
don't be a damn thing.
Yeah. It's like, that doesn't really mean anything. But we'll let you think it does. It makes you happier.
So there's new Google search console achievements coming, which are actually probably, recycled old ones, but nobody was paying attention back then. So it's cool to bring them back again.
And they will be in GSC on the tabs on the left-hand side.
And by the way, if you set it up properly, your client owns the Google Analytics and Search Console and like Google, they own their analytics, so their email gets all the
Oh yeah.
all these emails
If
as
you
well.
manage a bunch of accounts in Search Console, you'll go into Gmail and there'll be like 100 messages.
Oh, it yeah.
Yeah.
Including from all the clients who forgot to remove you from their accounts, all the
Yeah,
old
exactly.
clients.
Yes. Yes. People do forget often, always, almost.
Okay, so this actually, if you have a whole bunch of old accounts, might be a bad time to reach out and contact some of them. Google has made a really significant change in the way that it measures queries coming in through Search Console. So every time somebody makes a query and there's a response that comes back from your website, that triggers an impression in Search Console, right? Now, not everybody who makes a query is somebody. Often, some of those queries are coming from bots or from AI crawlers, and those tend to have parameters attached to them. Google has chain or Google's changed the way it distributes results to queries that have parameters attached to them, thus changing dramatically.
It's just the N100 query.
But it's had a dramatic effect on results in Search Console and I think unintended effects in borking many of the search tools.
Yeah, so basically, there's a parameter you can put on a search that says N equals 100, and so you get the top 100 results. And so most tools, including Google Search Console, use this to expand the results to 100 and then bring all those in for rank checking. So, and rank checking, if anybody doesn't know, is just where you're sitting in Google search at the time that it looks, because there's all sorts of things that affect that, like local and personalized. But generally speaking, if you want to know if you're in the top five, it's going to tell you that. Problem is, they dropped it. My guess is they dropped it because the large language models, as we know, OpenAI is pulling in Google search results, are crawling the heck out of Google. And we know from other sites like Condé Nast, when they sued the large language models, that they almost DDoS their sites because they're crawling it so much. Can you imagine if you're Google? Like, we know some people's like budgets went up, like 50%, 100% on their servers because they were hitting them so often. So if you're Google,
I had one
yeah.
site where we literally measured over 4,000% more traffic one day
Wow. And that's
than
probably,
average traffic.
yeah, and that's probably all bots. So
I
these large
wonder.
language models, bots, are like crawling the heck out of Google. And if they're crawling the heck out of regular sites, can you imagine what they're doing with Google? Because they're including it in their results. So at least we know for OpenAI, 100% that's been tested and proven. So I imagine this was supposed to do that, but somebody didn't think about the fact that this would break every other tool that needs that 100, including Google Search Console. So right now, Google Search Console impressions, not clicks, because clicks are actually people coming to your site, but impressions are really like off. And some people have seen it drop to like almost nothing. So don't perceive that as something's wrong with your site. Your actual clicks are your actual clicks, but your impressions may be really wild and wanky because Google Search Console uses that 100, 100 number result too, and it's not getting 100 anymore. So the issue is, for the crawler companies, where it broke most of the tools, not everyone's tool, there's a few tools that are still working, but most tools, like probably 90% of tools, because if they do have to crawl and do a pagination type of crawl, right? They're going to the next one, the next one, the next one, that amplifies their costs significantly. So right now, some of the companies are just bringing back like 20 results instead of the top 100. You're going to see that in your rank tools, so they can at least get 20 items to you. But this is a big deal. Like, I don't know if Google, I know Google was trying to stop the LLMs. I get that. That's fair. But like, did they not think about everything else that would break? Because they broke their own tool.
Well, they've, how to say it? They've changed. I don't know if they've broken their tool as much as they've now changed their tool, and there's a new baseline you're going to be measuring impressions from. They were trying to. I absolutely believe they were trying to weed out LLMs that were training on Google data itself. I'm willing to bet that every SEO on, well, not every, because I know I didn't, but I'm willing to bet that half the SEOs on the planet have vibe coded their own rank tracking software. That's all banging Google at a gajillion results per session, as many as they can possibly hoover up. You know what I mean? Like the demand on Google has grown exponentially in the last couple of years, and I think Google's trying to really load in its way load balance by getting rid of what it perceives to be bot traffic or crawler traffic.
And we do know that it's possible that the great decoupling that we were seeing, where we saw so many impressions but not as many clicks, like they're completely separate and not in alignment with each other like they normally are, could also have been those bots creating fake searches that look like searchers but aren't, because we know those bots will change their IP address so that it's not a known IP that they're coming from, so that could fool the tracking. I do think though, where I'm seeing impressions drop below clicks, even though I know they're measured differently. So like clicks may be 50 and impressions could be below your clicks, but they're still like 1,000 because of the way the graph works. But I have never actually seen a site have that.
I know I've seen that with almost all my sites now, except one.
Yeah, not now.
One of
I
my
mean,
e-com sites.
in the past though, in the past, have you
No,
ever seen
indeed,
impressions
indeed. Yeah,
below
yeah.
clicks?
Yeah, I've never
So
seen that.
it's,
I've not seen it either, but now I'm seeing it with almost
yeah.
everybody. Now, remember, the scale is wonked because just last week and weeks previously, the lot more impressions were being measured. So over time, the impression side of things, that scale is going to change as the new normal starts to establish itself. So you might see impressions rise above actual clicks as the way it's measured on the right-hand side of the graph changes.
It's just so weird though. I've never seen impressions
Yeah, I
below
know, eh?
clicks ever.
So
And
I don't
I've been
know.
doing this a long time, like Jim
I
Rohn.
think that there is still a decoupling that's happening. I don't know if it's the great decoupling, but there are fewer clicks coming from search. That isn't something that was imagined. Like the analytics do bear that out. Some of our assumptions are obviously we're incorrect. That's the cool thing that new information gives you, right? It's new perspectives.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyways, it's going to be a thing you're going to keep your eye on. I also know that Google put out a anti-scraper engineer job this about a week ago. It is gone, so it is closed. I do know people are asking why so fast in a week. I do know from somebody who works at Google higher up that if I want a job at Google, I can give that person my resume and they'll get an answer in 3 days whether I'll move forward or not. So as opposed to the normal application process. So it's likely somebody, an AI engineer, either internally or externally, somebody new that they brought in and they need it immediately because it's probably costing them a freaking fortune.
Indeed.
Yeah, I mean,
And
we're probably talking hundreds of millions of dollars over a year, so.
no. Okay, one question I do want to ask though, if they have hired an anti-scraping engineer, does that suggest to you that they needed a solution now? They mightn't be satisfied with the quick and dirty solution they just came up with. So they want there might be change in the future?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they broke their own tool. They're either going to have to re-engineer Search Console, or they're going to bring it back after they figure out how to block the scrapers, because they can't block OpenAI and all those without killing the tools. Although, a reminder, since day one I've been in this industry, and that's 20 years, those scraping tools are against Google's terms of service, so they do have a leg to stand on there. They can just say, you're not allowed to use those things. You're not allowed to use things that measure ranking and tracking that. So even though Google knows that whole industry exists, never did anything about it, this could be where they just say, we can draw a hard line because we told you it's been in the rules.
Well, yeah, that's always been one of those written
Yeah.
rules has been broken by unwritten fiat, because Google understands that those tools were at one time essential to the ecosystem, and they're still really, really, really important. But I found ranking less important over the
Yeah, same here.
years. I think it's important for like I run the SEO on a couple large e-com sites, and knowing which pages are performing better than others beyond just clicks from like Google or Bing is important, and ranking is like one of those measures. But like, yeah, it's
I
not
will
what it
say,
was.
like we forgot to mention some of this mentioned right here because it's relevant. Is Audience Key, our sponsor, has measures when you drop rank or go up in rank. So they have like a consistent starting point and then just measure where you go from there. So it doesn't have to be extremely accurate because we have personalization, like I said, and local and all that sort of stuff. But you will know if a page like completely dropped out of your ranking, like it went from 1 to 10, which is significant. So that's when I check.
Well, how many SEOs do you know that brag that they've got you into the top 50 or the top 100?
Oh yeah, no, yeah, no, I don't know. Yeah, I don't mean that. I just mean you know if something changed. Like when I was working for Zappos, we had someone change this sneaker page. We were number one for sneakers and anything related to it, and we dropped to 15 in a similar type tool internally, and overnight, which is millions of dollars and a month. And so we're like, what happened? We go look at the page, and somebody in marketing or branding changed it to like this brand name. They're trying to like attract younger people, but sneaker was no longer mentioned on the page, neither was shoe. So that kind of tool like Audience Key can tell you when you have something like that. We fixed it immediately, came back up to number one. But that's the kind of ranking tool I think is helpful. I think just
Yeah.
checking rankings all the time isn't so much.
Well, I'm pretty sure that in the future, if Google stays on this course, you're going to see people limit ranking tools are going to be limited to 20 or 30 results, unless you're paying through the nose for it, because who's going to be charging the ranking tools through the nose for that information?
Yeah, we'll see. Check with you if you're using a ranking tool and you notice it's all messed up. Few are okay, but most are not. And you can just check with how they're going to handle it so you know what you're looking at
Yeah.
with your company.
And again, I mean, at the end of the day, with SEO, reporting is half the job, and I have yet to hear of an SEO bragging that they got a client into the top 100. So,
Yeah, exactly.
the last thing to say on, and I almost love Jo's response to somebody who feels that she has to get out of the
Oh,
industry because her impressions just dropped off the map, along with some
yeah.
click traffic.
So I have to pack my bag and head out of town.
Maybe the real impressions were the friends we made along the way.
Yes. And Barry's like in his article, is like, John, what does that mean? Oh,
Oh.
I don't think we saw what John's full response to that was yet. So, John Mueller
Okay.
from.
So moving along here. OpenAI is applying new restrictions to ChatGPT for users under 18. There will be no flirtatious talk with underage users. Additional guardrails are going to be placed around discussions of suicide. And if underage users talk about suicide, use images, show any suicide iteration or whatever, the service is going to attempt to contact their parents. And if they feel it's severe enough, contact the cops.
Yeah, we've talked about, so this brings a couple older stories into focus here. One was that a teenager had killed himself with, and ChatGPT kind of was helpful in that process, which is just really sad and horrible. And then character AIs also had those issues. And then they also had the flirtatious talk between the bots and younger people. Meta did that too, but that's a little bit different. So anyways, these guardrails are at least super helpful. Remember, we talked before, I said if they did a semantic analysis, they could probably intervene. And it looks like they're intervening more than you and I thought, which is having that information go to those people that we mentioned in another article that are going to review things as moderators and have it sent to them. And in this case, I'm guessing that's when they call the parents or the police. I don't know how they'll have a number for sure, because, you know, I don't know that teenagers are putting in their number for their parents or something, because it's supposed to be linked to a parent account. So that would be in there. But in this case, they may not be. But anyway, at least they're doing something, you know, legitimate. You know, they did have suicides, and they did have people harm themselves with like fake relationships because they fell in love with the AI and didn't realize it wasn't a human.
Chances
So.
are somebody's paying $20 a month on their credit card for OpenAI. So this probably even if it's a debit card to the bank, there is probably a way to trace back to the person paying that $20 via some terrestrial means, right?
Yeah.
So mathematically, hallucinations are going to happen with OpenAI and with other LLM models because it's inevitable.
It's the
Not
math. Yeah.
yep.
Yeah. So
Which
they oh, go ahead, sorry.
well, I can say which I mean if you think about the amount of computations being performed on an insanely complex ideas and that it's in fact a predictive response machine. Yeah, I think hallucinations are probably gonna happen.
Yeah. Well, and I read a great article about this on LinkedIn where someone's like, it's all hallucinations. It's just sometimes it's factual. So, which is, you know, which is kind of important because it really is. It's predictive tech. So it's all just predictive tech. So it may or may not be correct. And they put the grounding in by bringing in citations and articles to make it more accurate along the lines of what you're looking at. But they even said, like, in the researchers' findings, this is in a computer world. They said when asked how many Ds are in DeepSeek, the DeepSeek V3 model with 600 billion parameters returned two or three in 10 independent trials. And we know that Strawberry is big for that too with the Rs. And so they're trying to show whether it was implementation or training or math. And it's just the math of trying to do predictive text. And the newer models are like far worse than they used to be. So OpenAI is a one model, the reasoning model, hallucinated 16% of the time. The newer models, three and four mini, 33 to 48% of the time, it's writing something that's incorrect. So they've been trying to solve this problem because it's the big reason that it's struggling to get adaptation, I mean adoption. So anyways, right now they're saying they're inevitable. This has been common thought in the industry for a while, but now they've proven that it is not just implementation. You can't just keep training it more and more and more to get more accuracy. That's not going to happen. It's math because just how it works. So it's really interesting.
Now, hallucinations just, for the overly initiated are mistakes. Mistakes happen in all systems. They happen with humans, they happen with newspapers, they happen on TV, they happen on this show all the time. But the difference is with generative AI, they're happening on the fly and there's very little editing space or, way to correct them before they become part of the information ecosystem, serious warts and all. And that's, I think, the biggest difference. Mistakes happen all over the place.
I mean, this is
But
not really a mistake. It's just how it works because it's
it's just,
predictive
yeah,
tech.
indeed.
Yeah.
Although it doesn't, more
Seems like a
often than
mistake
not,
to
it doesn't
us.
make mistakes because more often than not, the quick brown fox will jump over the lazy dogs because that's what happens all the time, right? Anyway, you know what else happens all the time? Somebody develops this like really cool thing and they take it on stage and they try to show it to other people and then it goes all auto mechanic on them and totally screws up. So Mark Zuckerberg was sporting these way cool Ray-Bans on stage. Now, just to back up a little bit, and I'm not really a fashionista, but I gotta tell you gotta if you're gonna pull off a cool pair of Ray-Bans, you gotta work at it. So Zuckerberg's on stage and he's got his new Ray-Ban Metas, which are now available for like, I don't know, $400 American. These are the live AI glasses, the ones that have a little camera in the glasses arm and are interactive with the web and with the metaverse. So he's out trying to demonstrate the glasses and I just started screwing up and just getting bad and bad and badder for him.
Well, and not just the glasses, he was also showing off the neural band interface. And it's supposed to like pick up your calls and stuff. And then a game he tried, nothing worked, basically. Like all these demos failed. He blamed it on the Wi-Fi. As you and I both know who have publicly presented, we never rely on Wi-Fi anytime we present something, but you are Zuckerberg and Facebook and Meta. You have the money of, the gods. So you should be able to get Wi-Fi. But I don't know why they didn't work. We have to take him at face value, though I imagine it's probably a little bit different of a story in the background. But he said that this is an MS, is this MSN, which is a Mashable. He said, this is one of those special moments where we get to show you something we poured our lives into. Zuckerberg told a packed house and live streamed 4,000 viewers. The Meta Bands had a bright, crisp display rated an impressive 5,000 nits, he said. I don't know what nits are, honestly. But anyway, and then they failed. So I guess you'll see another demo at another time where they actually work. It happens. It happens to
No.
all of us, but it's kind of funny.
Okay, so it happens every time some major exec gets on stage and tries to deficit, and Meta's got this whole Hulu vibe going. Remember the show Silicon Valley and then the company
Yes,
Hulu?
I love that show because I know
Well,
in my career I've met every one of those people in that
and Facebook has a whole Hulu vibe. Just everything they touch seems to be really cool and work until it just sort of doesn't.
show.
Okay,
Yeah,
so
but it, yeah, go ahead.
one of the great, I don't know, I maybe I'm getting so old, but I'm serious. One of the scourges for me of the web are the quick videos, the short hit videos, like you see them on Facebook and you see them on YouTube. YouTube is giving content creators more power using generative AI tools to create these short videos. And I'm going to have more hours of my day just evaporate.
YouTube is bringing its custom version of their text-to-video generative model VO3 to Shorts. By the way, I've used VO3. It's a mix. It does not get your instructions right frequently, and you're only allowed 3 a day on the actual site. So if it messes something up, you don't get a redo. But it's going to have a remixing tool, edit with AI feature. It's going to generate outputs with lower latency at 480p. Gosh, that's so 480 pixels. But we'll see. Is 720 is even considered low res at this point, right? But it's rolling out to the United States, United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. And it will expand it to more regions in the future. It has the ability for you to apply motion from a video to another. You can animate a still image by making the person that do a dance from a video. They say it's possible with captures and transfers of movements from one subject to another. And then you can use it to apply to different styles of video. So we'll see. I don't really. The reason that TikTok is so successful is it's authentic. And as soon as I see AI, unless it's really funny AI or really, just like a story AI, I don't really like it. It's just weird to me. It's kind of like, yeah, that's not real. So, but anyways, people might enjoy it.
You know what? It's all animation,
Yeah.
realistic looking animation. And it's just for me, if you look, please, I beg of you people, if you have something you're going to be creating in there, make it really good, make it really useful, make it informative, please. Or even better, make them dead boring so that I don't fall into like some hole of just
Yeah.
scrolling downwards or sideways to watch the next short that comes along.
Somehow, when I get on TikTok in the morning, I'll have the news on the TV and headphones will be on TikTok. I'll somehow wind up in reels. I don't know how that happens, but it happens regularly. And I'm just like, oh, another. But it's
At
okay
least
because
you're
this is while I'm
gracious
making
enough.
breakfast.
At least you're gracious enough to use headphones while you're watching them.
Well, I have to.
I ride the subway every day, and
Oh, I know.
nobody uses headphones.
Well, the funny thing is, in my house, just with my cats, but the news is on the background. I have the headphones half on. So I can hear the news. And if there's something interesting, I need to listen to. Otherwise, I'm listening to the TikTok. Like, if I boom, make them both at the same time without the headphones, then I can't listen because I'm going back and forth in my hands. So it's weird, but it works.
So Bing's fluttering itself up again. Bing image search has ads mixed into organic results, making the image search infinitely less useful.
Do you remember when Yahoo would mix your ad with your site and then it would replace your URL with the ad? And then took like a week for your regular site to come back after you did that. You remember
That was often happened towards an end of a bleak quarter when Yahoo had to make as much money as they
that?
possibly could awfully
That's true.
quick.
It's actually true. Jim's not joking. We really did theorize that's why it
No,
happened.
it's not, they
But
absolutely did that.
it's also why Google became, well, not the only reason Google's algorithms took out porn and casinos and stuff like that, which was huge. But also because people knew that they had organic results separate from paid results and they could trust the organic results. So this is, I don't think this is a good thing. Might have to have Fabrice on again to talk about it.
Well, yeah, you know what? Microsoft, I think Bing is trying to eke out revenue anywhere they possibly can. I think that if you, I mean, image search is so absolutely useful, but it's probably declining given the ability to generate any image you want to generate now. So I think they're just trying to eke out monies in spaces. Well, they can eke out monies in those spaces, eh?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. So,
But if you can eke that money out, there's a lot of money to eke. Alphabet is a
big.
$3 trillion market
Yeah.
cap.
Insane. Remember when a billion was a lot? We've
Yeah.
had in our lifetime when a billion was a lot.
Yeah, I actually, Dave Davies, the former host of the show, used to have a speculative meltdown at least once a week when we talked about the rapidly increasing valuations of these companies. His head must be exploding now.
Well, it's just, we don't have to get much detail. They just they're doing well. Their market capitalization of 3 trillion for the first time on Monday, riding on renewed optimism around AI and a favorable antitrust ruling, those ones we talked about in previous shows. They thought they were going to do all this damage to Google with the antitrust cases, and they didn't. So yeah, basically their shares have rallied more than 32% this year. So if you're a Google stock owner and you bought it 10 years ago, you're probably very, very happy.
Now, if you are a Google stock owner, we don't want to worry you with this next story. In fact, history says, dude, don't worry about it. The FTC is investigating Google over ad pricing and terms on their website. So the FTC is looking into Google for misbehaving in the advertising sphere. Something, yeah, we're going to talk about it a lot. And something will, that, nothing, and the world will continue to spin.
Google, so basically, Google sells search ads via automated auctions that take place in less than a second after a user enters a query. Amazon also hosts real-time auctions that take place, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, they're trying to look into these auctions to see the auctions with the ad, the sale of the ad itself, to see if there are any shenanigans going on. And actually, anybody who works in the paid ad space will tell you that their ads are costing more than they did when they were able to manually handle everything. So that may just be anecdotal, but we'll see what happens with this case.
So there's always, this has been a standard in Gen X journalism, that is, for my life at least, and you know, probably for the boomers, and probably, you know, sort of faded out around the millennials, but it used to be called the Rolling Stone. Rolling Stone magazine was like the place to appear if you were a political writer or a band or something happening in culture. And Rolling Stone just unleashed and explained, introduced people to, again, just such a wide range of American and international culture. And now its owner Penske is suing Google over AI overviews because, well, you know, Rolling Stone might gather no moss, and AI overviews don't give it no clicks.
Yeah, so the Penske Media operates under the Rolling Stone, the Hollywood Reporter, Billboard, Variety, and others. So they're suing on behalf of all of those. And you and I both know in the industry, you know, when everyone's chatting in the back rooms or the back channels, that they're seeing great declines in publisher clicks. So Google keeps saying that that's not a thing, but it's hard to argue with people actually looking at their analytics, seeing the changes. So. And it does make sense. If you're an informational site and the AI overview produces the information, the people don't necessarily click, or they click not as often. So According to Google, I don't want to speak about the specifics of the lawsuit, but I can speak to our philosophy here, which is, look, we want a healthy ecosystem. The Temblu links serve the ecosystem very well. It has a simple value proposition. We provided links that directed users free of charge to billions of publications around the world. And we're not going to abandon that model. We think there's use for that model. It's so important part of the ecosystem, but basically users prefer it.
Yeah,
So I
so
don't know.
Markham Erickson, Vice President of Government Affairs and Public Policy at Google, suggests that searchers want AI summaries over links. They want contextual answers and summaries over links to publishers. But, Google's
But
trying to provide links.
I love the quote, and I don't know if it's on, yeah, it's on this page too. User preferences and what users want is changing. So instead of factual answers and template links, they're increasingly wanting contextual answers and summaries. I mean, we know the AI overviews are not factual. We cannot say that as a company. So apparently people want, the contextual over the factual. I get it. I tend to stay away. I don't have time to decipher whether it's right or wrong.
Okay. So I'm trying to go through this. This is actually a much more complicated story. I'm trying to go through it really quickly as you're commenting on the previous one. Google's injecting Gemini into Chrome as as AI browsers have moved into the mainstream. Gemini is going to be the jump.
Everyone's getting
Gemini
added
is,
to the Chrome browser, yeah.
well, I'm almost saying Gemini is about to become a foundational
Yeah.
reference point that a lot of Google is wrapped around.
Google's Gemini chatbot will be available across Chrome to all users. This is from Gizmodo. And it'll be available across Mac and Windows desktop. And it's already available on Android and coming soon for iOS. It's going to expand its AI mode. The good news is, if you hate all this, you can turn it off. The only thing I don't know if you can turn off is the agentic AI. So they're going to put AI agents in that can do things for you. But Jim, as you and I have both talked about before in other articles, you have to be careful there because invisible prompt injections can cause it to do things you don't know it's going to do. So I don't. I would turn that off if you're able to. I did not find if you're able to or not. But they will allow you to turn off the Gemini. It'll be in the little star thing up in the upper right corner. You can click that and turn all of it off. I'm going to turn it off.
Yeah, the question
So,
I have about Google and agentic AI is how much control is Google giving users over how agentic elements, entities, are doing things on their behalf? I have a Google account. Everything I do through Gemini goes back to that account. It's Jim Hedger, and Jim Hedger is a very, very known entity. And so now this agent is out there looking, doing travel planning, itinerary planning for me in the into the future. How much of that work is where's that information? What do I control? I got a gajillion questions about this.
yeah, I'm a little skeptical. Like I said, we've seen too many cases where invisible prompt injection, meaning somebody hides words in something and they get like complete access to your drive. Well, this would now be able to access your websites, your login at some point, because you're probably just going to use your Google login with the agentic AI, right? Because the browser is already set up for that. And then it's going to do stuff. And I'm just not comfortable with it just doing stuff. These are still built on large language models. They still know that they have a broken foundation, where they have issues with, whatever. But also, we'll see, because also the other ones that have been tested have been pretty poor. And they've been very slow, and they have not been adopted because of that. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I'd be careful of it to start. I'd wait and see what kind of news comes out. Like, do they get hacked? Do people have issues or not? So,
The real litmus test for me. So
yeah.
my wife Shauna and I are going away for the weekend. Shauna's amazing at finding deals. I mean, she is the deal finding machine. So I'm really happy with the rates that we got at the hotel, and it's going to be a fun weekend. And I'm wondering if there's something that could out deal find her. And I'm seriously, it would be a serious challenge.
It would be, but imagine now that she has an agent in the back just buy stuff when she finds deals.
Yeah, no, I don't see that happening. Honest to goodness, I don't just don't see her doing that. I see her go. I don't.
Oh,
I, she's
yeah,
old
that's
school. She's awful old school.
Yeah, I didn't mean that like her specifically. I just meant in general, like, oh, these are great deals. Oh, I just bought 20 things. So,
Oh, I could totally see that happening.
yeah, that's what
100%.
I meant.
She's old
Yeah,
school.
that's what I meant.
And she's gonna get after me because I know she listens to the show once in a while. So AI mode is now able to compare items by like
They have a pop-up in AI mode that will ask about any items feature for comparing products or business details. They had a test last month. This is an SEO roundtable by Barry Schwartz. I would go to the article to see how it works because it's really hard to kind of describe. It's Google AI mode, ask about any item in SEO roundtable, but basically you just be able to ask questions about things you're looking to purchase.
I appreciate the catch on that. I was reading that article as I was thinking about the segue into the next story.
Jim is a segue master. I am not.
Google's testing putting AI generated search results snippet summaries
Say
beside your
that.
search results.
Say that five times fast. AI generated search
Indeed.
results, snippets, summaries. Yes. Yeah,
So
go ahead.
you get your search result, and then underneath you get a whole bunch of little options you might like choose into,
And below
and a
that, you
whole
get
bunch of
your.
other search results alongside that.
And then below that, you also get the AI summary. You'll see the little star, and it'll say like one of the results is financial centers and ATMs near Nashville, Tennessee. And they'll say includes addresses, map, links, directions, and details for 22 locations, some with limited service notices. That's what you're going to click on. So that might be actually a positive if it does it well. That's the big question. But it gives people information before the click, so reduces unwanted clicks and the more likely to convert once they get to your site, if it does it well. That's a big thing.
Google is taking action to find and remove non-consensual intimate imagery from search. It's working with a organization called Stop NC2, non-consensual. Oh, sorry, NCII, non-consensual intimate imagery, .org, to combat the spread of basically revenge porn, non-consensual.
Yeah.
We'll be using hashes to find and remove. What's that part of the story?
Hashes are something like this, how also Google checks for duplicate content. It's a way of breaking down the information into like
Oh,
this long string of
there you go.
numbers. And then if it's the numbers are similar, then they know the content is similar. So in this case, they're probably going to be looking for similar images being spread and seeing the same hash everywhere. And then you can also have a new tool. They have a new tool where you can re request removal of this content. Unfortunately, we've seen this happen a lot in like schools, like high schools and stuff. So I think this is a super positive. And along with personal contact information, you can also have removed. I don't know which parts, because they're like some things you can't remove, some things you can. But the onus is on the victim to identify and flag the content if they're seeing it, if they're using the tool. But they also will try to get rid of like viral, non-consensual things that happen. I don't know how they treat. Oh, here it is. And they're also flagging removing, especially AI-generated content without victims having to create and submit hashes. So if someone created an image of you naked when they never had a picture of you naked and they used AI to do that, they're going to be specifically looking to remove that. And you can report it now, which is good.
Those are being found in the search environment itself.
Yeah, they're looking at the images. If you ever open up an image file, you'll see that it's just a whole bunch of like letters and numbers, but there are details in there, meta information in there, and I'm sure that's how they're somehow doing the hash is from that.
Extraordinary.
Yeah.
Okay, so Google has a fringe score. Fringe is sort of a safety category. It's a measure of it's not a measure of like whether something's on the edges of statistical rarity or something that almost never happens. This is fringe is a safety word, and Google calculates where you are, but I suppose within certain sectors based on its quote unquote fringe score.
Well, yeah, and I think this is used originally, I don't know for a fact, but I'm going to guess featured snippets, because featured snippets wouldn't show something that was outside the normal corpus on that, like when answering a question. So in this case, it's looking at your question to see if your question is a fringe question, if it's like out there, if it's a long tail question, as opposed to just a, just a question that everybody asks, basically. So it only pertains to long tail nature of the query when it's incomplete. By the way, this is by Mark Cook Williams. He's done a lot of research on this. He's found a way to see this information. This is legitimate, unlike some of the other stuff that gets published. This is a legitimate thing, and it falls in the safety category. It's just a measure of not just a measure of query statistical rarity. It's also query classification, content evaluation, and links to misinformation in your money or your life. So as we said before, like in the core update, just so you know, your money or your life is how the core update evaluates things. It's done on the query level. It's not done on the site level, so it might have some relationship to that as well. But it sounds pretty interesting. I'd like to do more research, but
This one is kind of interesting, kind of neat. Although I think it's going to change the nature of Google Discover. Google Discover is giving users the chance to start following specific content creators. So somebody you particularly like, be it a content creator or a network or a certain short set, but whatever. If Google Discover is feeding it to you, Google's going to give you a chance to indicate to it that you like it.
Yeah,
You can
and that you
follow
want to, and you're,
publishers.
yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Also, you can follow publishers and you'll see more of their content come up in your Discover feed.
And this is from other platforms, not just Google. So X, Instagram, and YouTube Shorts, with more platforms to come. So if you say you want to follow this creator from Twitter, it'll show you that content. Now, it will only show you people you follow at the current time. That's another story I think we're going to do, but we can just roll it into this one. Barry, who wrote this, Barry Schwartz, SEO Roundtable, wasn't sure that was a great idea. I get that because you want to see people you don't follow too, or who don't follow you. So right now it's only for that niche of your followers, because I don't follow everyone back on platforms. So now you can follow publishers or creators right on Discover to see more of their content. You can preview a publisher or creator's content, including articles, YouTube videos, and posts from social channels before you follow. Just tap their name and find a new dedicated space for their content in your Discover. Do you use Discover much?
Since I got my new Android device, I'm using it much more frequently. It's just more prominent and comes up every time I go to Google. I suddenly see all these news stories underneath, and they're being promoted by endless push updates that Google sends me. So yeah, I'm seeing a lot more discovery.
I never use it, so maybe I should take a look at it.
Well,
So,
again, remember I admitted like just a few minutes ago in the show that these short videos have become this scourge of my world. I travel the subway
yeah.
frequently, and it's just so easy to get lost in them. Discover is I always sort of felt the same way about Discover. Don't feed me stuff. I'm gonna go find it.
Yeah, pretty much me.
But now again, it's there. And I'm brainlessly trolling through it, and but
Yeah,
at least you know what, and this is both terrifying and gratifying at the same time. Google knows me so well that I'm quite interested in what it's feeding me.
I get that because when I drive at night, if I'm coming back from like a game night, I will put on TikTok and just roll through the shorts and listen to it while I'm driving. So yeah, I get that. I just never wanted Discover to feed me like websites and stuff or news, because it'd be too personalized and I might miss other things, but that's okay.
Okay, so Google is testing a way if your Merchant Center profile gets suspended. Excuse me, Google is testing a way to re-verify you using video. There are specific things you'll need to have in your video for Google to, consider it legit. You have to include signage, street address, areas that only staff have access to, such as a storage room or an office, to prove that it's not some customer or somebody just coming into some random place and taking pictures. And you got to capture everything in one video, one continuous video, and it's you got to be sensitive to personal information or sensitive data, people's faces, that sort of stuff. Provided you meet all those criteria, Google will use a video you shot as a verification that you are, in fact, that legit business.
That's a pretty good idea because it's so hard to get things, verified at Google. One other thing, and it can only be 3 to 5 minutes, and it cannot be edited, clipped, or modified. So continuous video, 3 to 5 minutes, can't be edited, clipped, or modified, and then you can submit it inside your Google Verify, your Google business profile. Oh, that's good. That's helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Again,
So we.
when you get lost in a Google ban or a Google like they've suspended your profile for one reason or another, it can be a Byzantine, a terrifying,
Oh yes.
an impossible maze to get out of it. This makes it easy. I mean, seriously, it makes it so much easier for people.
Yeah, it's really good. My cousin lost hers and she could spent months trying to get it back. She just gave up. Okay, so some really fast stories. We don't have a lot today, which is good because we're running out of time. Google Business API Q&A feature where you like ask questions and answer them is going away November 3rd. They're not sure what's replacing it. But you still can continue to access and review your existing data and reporting details to the API until then. It doesn't say about what after. So they're big on those publishing answers to users. So I'm surprised that's going away. They must be replacing it with something. Bing is testing a sticky search bar header. Do you like sticky search bar headers, search headers? Just headers, not search headers, but headers where it stays while you scroll down the page.
It depends what's in the header. If there's anything useful, that's up there. If it's just a say a search bar and a submission button, then no, not really. I could scroll up to get that. But if there's something
Yeah.
useful in there, then yeah, sure.
I don't even like it for navigation though, because it's taking up part of my screen. And I get a smaller window to read through, so I prefer not having it. But we'll see if
Oh,
it
you mean,
works.
hold it, hold it. You mean if I click away from search results and the bar remains,
No,
I'm
just
gone?
if you're scrolling, just if you're scrolling.
Yeah, okay. If I'm scrolling,
Like you
then yeah.
lose
I
that
mean, it
part of
really
your
depends on
screen.
how they're using it. If
Yeah.
I've left your search engine, don't follow me around.
Oh
Okay, yeah.
no. That'd be terrible. Bing Places update coming soon, navigation experience and more. So Bing is going to on Bing Places. There's some changes coming. The portal businesses can use to update their business details. The update includes smooth navigation. The dashboard is now more intuitive. Improved experience. Onboarded new businesses with enhanced important claim flows. Customer recommendations and some features like bulk upload, bulk review. Wow, that's helpful. I hate when you can't bulk upload something. You're like, I got 50 things. Like, what?
Well,
And
you know what this story tells me, just really quickly? Bing Places, Google Business Profile, local. I mean, it's you. The American Congress used to have a speaker, Tip O'Neill, who said all politics is local, all search is local. When you get right down to it, someone's looking for something, and chances are that something is within 2 or 3 kilometers or 2 or 3 miles of their location. All search is local. And this shows the importance of claiming and expanding your business profile.
Yeah, that's very true. Our last story of the day is just a little bit funny. No, Google Search Console did not add AI overviews filter. We've had that before, so I was like, is this just a duplicate story? But no, it's not. Apparently, somebody posted in what is it? The Platinum Product Expert in Google's forums posted a screenshot of what looked like a filter for AI overviews. But it was fake. So Gagan Gorta, I don't know what his role is at Google, but he, confirmed that it was fake and it was initially approved to be posted because this is an expert. When you go to Google Forms, they're like, here's the experts and they answer your stuff. So I don't know why he would do that because I'm sure Google probably addressed his continuing status as an expert. But John Mueller from Google posted that, like others have mentioned, there's no filter like this in Search Console, and the screenshot itself is fake. The Help Center page explains how these features are tracked within the general web bucket, like many other search features, which are also not broken out separately. So, if you need more information about it, you can go to the forums and look at that. So, anyway, it's fake and somehow got by Google's people. So, if you saw it, it's not real.
These things
Unfortunately,
happen.
we really should be able to track it in Google Search Console, but we can't right now.
Okay, that's it. We have gone full clock. I'm about to go on a quick vacation, so I
I
want to get out of the studio
know.
as fast as I can.
It's awesome.
So special thanks to Wix Studio and to AudienceKey, our sponsors. Really big thanks to Darren and Brandy in the front office, to Ricky and Brasco in the studio and the producers' chairs, and huge thanks to the audience. Click and like each other as much as possible, and do the same with us.
Oh, and
Friends.
I'll be at Brighton when this goes up next week. Brighton SEO, hopefully,
Oh, that's
San
right.
Diego.
Brighton SEO
If
is
you're
happening
there,
next week. And
yes.
also, by the way, and I really should have said something earlier. I totally spaced it with so many news stories. You know the AI tool Serpicon?
Yes, that's one that Ryan Jones put together. The
Yeah.
Ryan Jones, not the other Ryan Jones on Twitter.
It's
There's
a
two of them.
really, really good little language model tool. He's offering 40% to people who sign up right now. If you sign up before the end of this month, the 30th of September, I think SETP 40 is the key, the discount key you put in.
What is that again? What is the discount code again?
September, like SEPT
Oh,
40.
okay, great.
So like 40% off. By the way, if you signed up, if you were one of the original people who signed up, you're already getting a better than 40% discount. So this doesn't apply to you or
True.
unfortunately me. But I've been
Or
using this
me.
tool since, yeah, I've been using this tool since like this time last year, since it just came out. And it's essential. I love it. It tells me so much that I didn't see previously about how LLMs might be seeing a client's website.
Yeah, and also it does like content analysis the way that Google's natural language processing might be looking at it as well. So it's dual, works on both SEO and LLMs. And it's SERPRecon, so SERP, like search engine result page.
Yeah, recon.
ERCON, it's a dot com, correct?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
Serpicon.com. And this is an SEO tool, SEO slash AI tool made by one of the senior SEOs in the industry.
Yeah, who works with Fortune 100s and clients like that. So it's very good. And Ryan is very smart about this because he has actually a degree in this kind of computer analysis. So
Oh my
other
goodness.
than,
I didn't actually know that up until now, but that explains a lot,
yeah.
doesn't it?
Yeah, he has a he has he
He's
knew
a
he's like, I
smart
knew about
cookie.
all this stuff so many years ago. So but it's a really good tool. Everyone should do it. And it's Ryan Jones. There's two on Twitter, so you have to make sure. It's the Ryan Jones. He has a screaming face or yelling face.
He's a funny looking one.
Yeah, his face looks like he's yelling, his big mouth. So,
Okay, and
okay,
on
but
that, I was like, we do like Christine, like the studio is gonna kill us. We gotta get out of here.
and Jim has to get on his vacation. So,
Well, I really do. So on
you do.
behalf of
You do.
Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and BrandLabs.us. You've been listening to Webcology recorded live to podcast on the 18th of September, 2025. Friends, be kind to each other, support your communities, love your neighbors, watch out for them and take care of them in these like increasingly dangerous times. Take care, love each other, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.